Breakfast puppies?
Welcome, adventurers! Grab your dice bags, sharpen your axes, and hop into the meat grinder. It's time for Hammer Crawl!
White hot tails, cold, screaming, jagged waves. Raucous thunderclap resounding through the space. Take no prisoners with a message from the mage. All are guilty here, but this night they must be made to win.
Greetings, fellow dungeon crawlers, and welcome to another episode of Hammer Crawl, a comedic actual play dungeon crawl podcast. I'm your host, Dungeon Master, and Hammersmith, NPC. Since this is possibly your first time joining us, I'll give you a quick bit of background behind what's going on. Hammer Crawl is initially just my own personal method for running classic dungeon crawls on the fly, tournament style, with zero preparation. Started as a fun con game, quickly grew into its own set of rules, and now this podcast. You're listening to the fourth batch of episodes from our ongoing Wolves of Zeramund adventure series. Now this batch kicks off with episode 12 of their saga, which corresponds to episode 15 of the podcast as a whole. In this batch of episodes, we both bring in a new player and venture into a brand new dungeon. And since the Hammer Crawl game system is still evolving, we try out a few new game rules along the way. Once again, thanks for listening. Now sit back and enjoy the ongoing saga of the Wolves of Zeramund as they venture forth into the Pit of Tenebrous Worms.
I will walk up to the pit and take a closer look, but I still am sound enough mind, since I haven't been smacked, I'm sound enough mind that I don't really want to touch it.
Yeah, we don't trust Xenon. Sorry.
I mean,
your suggestion.
I like your style. I think I just want to walk up to the pit and take a closer look.
What's your alignment, Xenon?
What is alignment anyway? Mm. One person thinks evil. One thing, yeah. Another thinks enough. Another. We all believe what we believe.
That's what evil things say?
I think so. Yeah.
Let me put it this way. Is Carib evil? No. Mm-hmm. Lord Carib is simply lusting after your health.
Right. But that's also what chaotic people say.
Yeah.
We're pretty chaotic.
Yeah.
So,
well, I am chaotic and wearing a heavy armor, so I might just go up and poke that thing with my spear, see what happens.
Nice.
All right.
I now encourage this.
The only light sources around us, the one that you are carrying yourselves. The ceiling is not well carved, unlike the walls and the floor, which are smooth. The ceiling has bits of root and earth dripping down. Occasionally, a little bit of sand settles.
All right. Well, I'm going to...
You want to actually poke it.
I just want to look at the statue. So you're going to be looking into the pit. I'm going to be sort of like leaning over the pit, and I'm going to try to figure out if my... I have a javelin and a spear, and I'm trying to figure out which one is longer.
A javelin is essentially a spear that's balanced for throwing. So a spear is your melee version of a javelin.
Yeah. So I think my javelin is going to be the better poking device here. So I'm going to take my javelin. I'm just going to kind of poke at the statue little figurehead a little bit just to see if it like moves, or maybe it's like a lever or something, or just, you know, if it's full of, I don't know, like tasty treats or something. I don't have any idea.
Or snakes.
Yeah.
You step forward and poke at the statue.
I do.
Where is everyone else during this time? Are you abandoning your friend or standing by them?
I am standing cautiously by. I think you guys all are doing something stupid.
Okay. I'm on my... I went from being evil to being chaotic after the vampire incident.
Yeah, I know. So, I'm chaotic now too, yeah.
Yeah.
If you are standing cautiously by,
You do notice that the passages extend both to the left and to the right of the statue, and they do also end in doors, doorways, that you can explore.
Poke,
you poke the statue.
I poke
again,
the
statue. The statue is ahead of you,
yes.
Kind of recessed behind the path, this at this T intersection.
Yeah.
And there's a pit underneath it. You look down, and it's just darkness. You poke the statue.
And I think I'm kind of maybe...
And it's like it's reaching for you, but it's not moving. It doesn't do anything. There's no gems. It's simply a carved bit of stone coming out of the wall. You poke at it and nothing happens. But that's a lie.
I was like, really? Really, NPC?
Nothing.
Let me rephrase that. You poke at the statue and the statue itself does not respond. But there is a slight glowing light of a greenish sort appearing beneath it in the pit, kind of coming up from below.
Phosphorescent?
It almost seems like phosphorescence. Currently, you're unable to detect a source, but as the light begins to expand in the pit below, you see that the pit does extend further than you can see in this darkness.
Okay.
Hey, Poppy.
Yes?
I'll give you a free drink ticket to the inn to jump in there.
No, I've got a quart of wine. I'm good. Thank you, though.
Yes.
Well done.
So here's my current
attempting to bribe us.
Hypothesis is that this figurehead is actually a light switch, and if I can somehow get around the side of it and like lift it up or down, that it maybe is like a toggle switch, and this phosphorescence will increase. And it will tell us which way to go. Like it might like light up the hallway, or I'm thinking it's a light switch.
So Delphine, as Dr. Aug is explaining this to the group, in kind of a educated, he's elf-splaining these things.
I have skills is ancient history, so yeah. I'm elf-splaining.
Yeah. So that's why it's so old.
Dr. Aug is totally elf-splaining.
I'm
this
elf-splaining,
stuff.
Yes.
Turned back very animatedly explaining how he has come to this conclusion.
Well, actually.
You kind of look past him and notice that statue is now starting to glow a little bit. Veins of that same greenish phosphorescence are appearing and sort of pulsing along it as if they are moving themselves towards the end of the tentacles.
Yeah, I'm not thinking this is a light source, that's for sure.
Yeah,
this out? Because no one else seems to be noticing this.
I'm going to start pointing this out. And also I have my like trap finding skills as a thief, and I'm starting, my spidey senses are starting to tingle, and I turn around and I take a defensive pose.
There's nothing coming at you from
I am just taking a defensive pose.
Taking right. defense and watching doors and corners. Doors and corners.
I also have shield sword.
That's good.
So I'm gonna put that in my hand at the moment while I'm defensively turned.
If you just stand and watch, y'all notice that the lights are moving along the tentacles, but it's not like those strings of lights that, you know, have every sign, every neon sign or that just keep flowing. The light starts within the statue and begins to move out around each of the tentacles in this strange human worm form. And
as it gets
to the end of the tentacles, to each one, to the discernible point where a tentacle ends, green ooze begins to form out of the stone of the tentacle, of the statue, and then drip down into the pit.
Okay. See, this is how this works. You see, what happens is when you hit the light switch, it's sort of like a fountain, and this green phosphorescent is going to come down and fill up the pit. And then it's going to light our way for us. Right?
I'm going to back up because I don't believe you.
All right. Check this out. I've got this lantern here. I haven't put any oil in it yet, right? Okay, I'm going to fill up my lantern with this green goo, and I'm going to show you guys how this works.
Oh, boy.
Like, trust me.
Oh, my God.
I also disagree. It seems pretty clear that this tentacle statue has simply eaten too much dairy. And by poking it, the mucus production is coming to the edge. I would back up, and I will.
More ooze of this greenish, glowing, phosphorescent nature is dripping down from the statues of various tentacled, not orifices. This ooze is coming right out of the stone.
Yeah.
At various points where the tentacles would imply such an orifice. but none exists, and are dropping down, matching the glow that is coming up from below. You're not able to see what it's doing, but if you look real close, well, that's a good question. Is anybody looking real close?
Okay. I mean, Dr. Og seems pretty close.
I mean, I'm pretty close.
Yeah, I got my shield up, though, but I'm pretty close.
Okay, so you're like gazing into the pit? Is anybody looking into the pit?
Oh, no, no, no.
So you're not able to see what's happening in the pit, then?
No.
Okay, all right. So you just sit and watch.
I feel like we need to move around this statue and choose one of these. Mm-hmm.
We're not dawdling here. This is not great, and I'm ready to move on from
the
this.
The glow is increasing.
Yeah.
And suddenly, all at once, the various dripping bits of ooze cut off.
Oh, okay.
Did I get
and
my...
The statue has lost all of its glow.
But the pit is still glowing.
The pit is glowing brightly.
Okay.
And it is now increasing in glow. Hear a sound that is almost like kind of a ripping, as of the earth reconfiguring itself.
Yuck. Mm.
I choose left door. How about you?
Right.
You're the party leader.
And a simple heartbeat later, moving quicker than you would imagine such a thing to be able to move, is something that each of you might have encountered before. Do any of you have any monster-related knowledge skills or anything that might...
I have local history.
Local skills. History.
I have arcane lore.
Some people would consider a miniature equine a monster.
I have ancient history.
Some people.
Nature lore and seamanship.
Well,
I'm
going
to bust that one out later.
Seamanship.
Dom, your arcane lore might allow you to identify this. It's not a given. I'm going to have you roll for it.
Okay. And arcane lore is intelligence. So do you want me to...
You're going
to
roll a d20 and you're going to add your intelligence mod.
Oh, which is +0. So never mind.
That's fine. Just being able to do this in the first place is better than anyone else.
And that is a 7.
You've heard of ooze monsters.
Oh, okay.
But what you are seeing coming rising out of this pit is a new encounter to you. It is a rectangular, perfectly shaped cube.
God damn it.
Rising up. It envelops the statue, which you're just now thinking, that statue was pretty clean and clear of dust. I wonder why that is. As it moves up with a almost immediate quickness, it's just boom, suddenly there, rising up with a speed that you would not expect something made of jello to possess.
But that's a fast flubber.
You do notice something else specific about it. Pulsing through it, around it, holding its shape in place as if it's a frame or a bunch of wooden vines.
Hmm. Okay.
They descend further down, tying it to the earth in that pit, possibly controlling it like a puppet. The ooze quickly moves forward. We're going to roll some initiative.
They roll for initiative.
Yes.
The leader of the group, you roll a d10, add your dex and your wisdom mod.
6 with my dex mod. That's a 7. And my that's a 7.
Your party gets to go first.
Yes!
Cool. Great.
So again, hammer crawl goes in 5 phases on your turn. Movement, missile, melee, miscellaneous, and finally magic. So we're going to start at the beginning. Is anybody going to be moving around?
Yeah, I'd like to try to get behind this thing.
You can't.
Oh,
it's
no, I can't.
It's in the wall right now.
Okay.
So you cannot... Until it comes out, which it's doing right now. But
yeah,
I was
kind of feeling like I could pivot around it.
The only way for you to get behind it is to go through it.
Okay. No, I'm going to pivot. I was hoping to pivot around
that. Delphine.
Maybe do that.
Would you like to go through it?
I would not like to go through it.
So anybody can move. It doesn't take your action to move. Movement is considered part of your action. But movement happens at the beginning of the round. So you get into position. Is anybody moving? Or are y'all going to stand around and stab at it?
I simply want to be a bit farther from it.
I'm like right there.
You're right there.
So I'm not going anywhere.
I'd like to pivot to the side. And maybe you could pivot to the other side. Yeah. Well, I was also hoping, can I move and melee? I'm totally forgetting what we get total.
You can move and do anything else.
Okay. Okay.
But you can't missile and melee, right. But you can move and melee. And melee. You can move and do any of the other things.
Yeah.
But movement, any positioning, any tactical, all of that stuff happens at the very beginning of the round.
Yeah.
And then we resolve everything in order.
Because I think I actually want to kind of smack Dr. Ogg out of the way.
I mean, I imagine I gave very a little
thoughtful good. Of you. Yeah. Like kind of uh-huh. sidle around him and booty butt him back a little. So okay. that I am between, I am close to the
ooze. I mean, cube. You're already right the there. Cues. You were at the front of the party.
The cues.
Okay.
The
cues. Is anybody else moving? You're moving away, Xenon? Are you moving back or to the left or right?
Back. Either,
you're moving back. Delphine.
I'm pivoting to the right.
Okay, but you're staying within striking range?
I have a shield up, but yes.
Okay. Anybody taking a ranged attack?
Me. Throwing an acid flask.
Fantastic. Ooh, that's an area attack. Go ahead, roll a d20.
20, natural 20.
What?
Natural 20.
Beautiful.
All right. So I'm going to give you an option with a natural 20. Normal natural 20 is a critical strike, which means you're going to do a significant amount more damage.
Yes.
You total your damage dice and all associated bonus, and then double the total and apply that much damage. Alternately, instead of doubling the damage, you can choose to apply a cool narrative or tactical effect. It's up to you.
In this case, I think I would rather apply the tactical effect, considering I want it to hit the wooden legs, right?
The vines that are coming out of the ground.
Coming out of the earth that seem to be giving it shape.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So kind of the base.
I think I know how this is going to happen then.
Yeah. Because those seem important.
Natalie, can you pass me that book?
Vines. Yeah.
Dirk Durnjerns.
The Dirkest Durnjerns.
The Dirkest Durnjerns. Guys, have you seen that movie?
Are you ready?
No, but I've read the
RPG?
Pamphlet.
The Chick Tract.
Ugh, yes. Man,
I can't get enough of that. That Chick Tract is so... I found a PDF of it. I'm just like, oh my God. It's so ridiculous. So
if you ever want to read it, you guys are going to hate me.
Does anybody remember how much
you?
Damage an acid flask does?
I wish it's not on here.
Okay. I think this has happened before in the
check
podcast.
It on the phone.
It's not in the book. So I'm going to go ahead and just say it's going to be 1d6 1d6 damage plus 1d6 for 1d6 turns. Very simple. So go ahead and roll a 1d6.
This bright green dye seems most like an acid flask.
Mm-hmm.
Two.
Okay, it's going to do 2 damage. Roll another 1d6.
Same one again. 2.
And it's going to do that for 2 more turns.
Great. Yeah.
Okay.
So there are 2, and each turn after, you're going to roll the damage again.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So you've got the first one, and now you've got 2 more.
Okay.
But you hit the stems, and the stems, oh, good. That's a good attack. The stems are now melting away.
Nice.
Melee actions. Who's up? Who's going first?
Me.
All right. Let's get your die roll.
That was actually Poppy saying me.
Oh,
I was just looking like I was going to say me because I was.
Some
ventriloquism.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure.
Go for it.
I have a sword and a shield sword, and I would like to cut the rest of the vines.
Sweet.
Like at the base. I'm going to like hack. Give it a good old hack. They're coming out.
There's vines all around it, so you just want to hack at the frame?
Sure, yeah, I'll hack at the frame. Okay. The main frame, yeah.
That's
yeah,
and that's totally fine.
Gonna hack the main frame. I'm sorry, I had a little trouble visualizing this, but the flubber with the vines, but okay.
Gelatinous cube.
So I have 2d20 attack dice. 14 and 11.
Okay. Anything higher than 10 will hit this.
That's both.
It is quickly moving, which means its attacks are going to be lightning fast. However, it is a big dungeon-sized cube of jelly. It's very hard to miss.
Cool.
So you roll 1 damage die for both of them. So your damage is based on your hit die.
A 2.
Just once. So you do 2 and then 2. So you hit it twice, so 4 points of damage.
I'll melee it up.
Okay.
I will raise Daisy upon high and go to smote some woody vines.
Do you yell anything exciting when you raise Daisy?
I mean, there's a lot of glitter. Like, sometimes, you know, if I raise it too quickly, there's like kind of a shower of glitter. Okay. That
I love it. Yeah. We can call this the glittering strike.
Yes.
Yes.
Hard to clean up after.
Yes. The glittering strike. Yeah, so basically raising it up, I'm just trying to hack it right down.
And
on
some
top
of the glitter gets like stuck into the ooze, and it's like now phosphorescent and shiny.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, pretty.
It's a glitter cube.
And that is a...
It's like the gayest six. Hellraiser.
A six?
Version.
Yeah. Don't you get a glitter cube guys? Now.
Do I?
I don't know. You're a berserker.
I vote yes.
You have 2d20, number of attack dice.
Oh,
so you have
2d20,
and you get a plus 2 to your melee attack.
All right, so I rolled one.
The first one was an 8.
Yep.
So that's a 10. You need to get an 11 or higher to hit this thing.
And are not- 7.
Neither of those is going to hit. Anybody else melee? Dr. Aug?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to use my, I'm going to hack at this thing with my poleaxe, which is a two-handed weapon. And I believe that my hit die is a 1d8.
How many attack dice do you have?
Oh, 2d20.
There you go. Roll two dice.
Oh, right. Oh, I need another d20.
Just roll it twice.
Oh.
Anything 11 or higher, plus remember, you have a melee mod on your sheet.
I want two. Melee mod. 0.
All right.
All right. 12.
12 will hit.
And a 2.
2 does not hit. Go ahead and roll your hit die, which I think is a d8.
D8, yeah.
And just so you know, you do have
4.
Plus 1 to ranged.
Oh, yeah.
Just for the future. Yeah.
4 more damage attacking this thing. I think that's everyone. That means it is now its turn. It is still quite alive, and it jiggles for a moment. It jiggles with your blows as you slice through it. The ooze mends itself behind your attacks, and then it, with a lightning quickness, surges forward into the square. I believe that square is currently occupied by Dom.
Mm-hmm. Probably me too.
No, Dom is large.
I fill
as
a lot of space. Yeah.
Dom, what's your armor class?
It is 13.
It surges forward and you leap back.
I'm too fast.
Yeah. It is now too occupied agile. That entire square that you were in. But you've leapt back, and it did not manage to hit you.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to do initiative again.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wolves of Zaramanda Saga on the Hammercrawl Podcast. Stay tuned for more adventures to come as they delve deeper into the pit of tenebrous worms, seeking adventure, riches, fortune, and legends, and of course, an inevitable hilarious death. If you enjoyed this episode, please let us know. Send us your feedback at breakfastpuppies.com or leave us a review on iTunes. If you want to hear more, subscribe to our feed at your favorite podcatcher or check us out at breakfastpuppies.com/hammercrawl. Check out the official game rules of the Growing World Bible on GitHub. The opening theme song is Chain Lightning by the awesome D&D metal band Gygax. Yes, that Gygax. Check them out on Bandcamp via the Creator Destructor production label. Additional background music was provided by the absolutely amazing dungeon synth artist Erang, who you can also find on Bandcamp. Your Hammercrawl lesson of the day is, when encountering strange statues of evil tentacle people, give them a good poke. That always works out.